That is the question.
It was after my telling you.
Yes, I can't express it. What it's about. Oh. But it's not the question, because I have no idea how to frame the question. Is how do you think people learn? Your mother must have done lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds as if she was a good teacher,
mm-hmm.
meaning somebody that you could imitate. And your father must have done lots of things, and your older sister must have done lots of things, and you either picked out or something picked you out to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea of how that works? Or have you thought about it? Or?
There's only one way that I've thought about it at all. I am thought by many persons to have more willingness to speak and express myself in a group than they have. I have, for instance, I don't figuratively, literally hold the hands of some persons who are on committees with me, but they would not be on the committee if I weren't there,
mm-hmm.
because they know that I will either say what they are thinking, or if I don't, they can say to me, well, don't you think so, instead of saying it to the group. Well, the one I've tried to figure out that one out.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it isn't bravado or crassness or anything of this sort that I am presenting to the public. But, you see, my... this is family history.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind?
No. I think that's where it all
starts.
It's
tied in
yes.
with a genealogy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
One of my great-grandfathers came from the Orkney Islands, which is on the north part of Scotland. His wife, I have not been able to determine yet whether she was born in Scotland or whether her parents had moved to the London area, maybe in thinking in terms of migrating.
Mm-hmm.
But they came from there way back in the early 1800s,
mm-hmm.
or very late 1700s, early 1800s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, three branches of my family got to the North American continent before 1805.
Mm-hmm.
And the other branch may have gotten here then, I haven't been able to see, but he got down into this country in 1862.
Mm-hmm.
But they came from Scotland, three branches of them,
mm-hmm.
and one branch from England. One family had lived on what they call the Black Isle, which has at the peak of it a lighthouse in a small community called Cromarty, and Cromarty was my father's middle name.
How do you spell it?
Cromarty.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there in the summertime. We haven't been to the Orkneys yet. We were there in the summertime. Tim said, I don't know why anybody would want to leave this island
mm-hmm.
and come to Canada and view a farm out of the woods. But I guess in the winter it was pretty bleak there,
mm-hmm.
and moreover, it's the same old story of overpopulation, and somebody had to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So that branch of the family came as far as Ireland for a generation, and then came on the Atlantic and then down. But you see, they were adventuresome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't the ones that stayed and let somebody else go. They came.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then, they lived in, all of them eventually got into the Northeast Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Not the previous generation, but their children got
mm-hmm.
into it. And so they stayed. Well, the Cummings branch stayed, part of it stayed always, but part of it went out to Wyoming when Wyoming was, I don't know whether it was anything but a territory.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them went out there. The other side of the Cruikshank family, which are the other, another branch, went one to Wisconsin, one to New Mexico, one to, I think it was Nevada, but it may have been Montana. Mm-hmm. A doctor, a lawyer, and, I've forgotten what the third one was. But here were these men when that was just really almost just territory. The other branch who came over later, who was the Buchanan branch, left one son in the Northeast Kingdom. One son grew up and went to Georgia, but they went out to Wisconsin with their seven daughters. They died out there in 1860, so they had gone before that. Now the Cummings family, which is the branch that's been here the longest, came over, they think, in the Francis, which came a few years after the Mayflower, and they settled in Ipswich first, and then Botsford and Tingsboro and all those places down in that part of Massachusetts. And my branch came up, we call it up the Connecticut. Some of them were in Plymouth, New Hampshire and all, but they settled up in the Northeast Kingdom. Well, now to me, that all takes a sense of adventure, a sense of trying something new. Then my mother, before she was married, and she was married when she was 22, had gone with a friend of hers with a group of young ladies who were well chaperoned and under a very excellent manager, I think, and promoted baking powder, Rumford baking powder, in Washington, D.C., and Boston, and Fall River, and Providence, Rhode Island. So here was Mother, who was not 22 yet. She was teaching when she was 20. This was, I think, where she taught, or it may have been in the summer. Went off with this friend of hers who'd done it before, and another group of girls to Washington and Providence and Boston and Fall River and all these places, with an experience in meeting people, salesmanship, which not everybody dares to do, you know. So then she was married, and they were in New England in the lumber business, let's say, and came this chance to go to West Virginia, where they were literally, if I knew right where it was, I'd show you the picture of that place in 1910, where they were literally helping hew this community out of the wilderness. You see. So then they got, now the next move may not have been as voluntary as the ones up till now, but they went to sea to South Carolina. And nobody in either family had ever been down that way. And then later they came back to Vermont, but later went to Tennessee, which is another kettle of fish. So here they are with this exploring business. So that's, in a way, I've come back now and I can't remember how I phrased your question, but in a way, that is the kind of thing which has helped me to dare to do what looked like ought to be done, I think. I think it's part of this seeing a situation, evaluating it, and thinking, this is the next step. That's all the only way I can figure it out. Now, I don't know whether that answers you at all or not.
It doesn't answer that specific question, but it ties in with some of the other things that you were saying.
But you see, when they needed a fire department in Davis, there were two pumps in town for this volunteer fire department. My father was part of the department and manned one pump because it was in his mill, his planing mill. The other one was over at the pulp mill in Dunham. My father had never been a fireman before, but they needed fire protection. And so who was to do it? The people who were in town, you see? And he was one of them. So I think this, I think that enough of this this background keeps coming up, so that the history of my mother's brothers, except the older one who would like to have but had to stay on the farm, of my father's family, mm-hmm. are such that they had to move out of a comfortable place, mm-hmm. we'll call it, into an unknown place. Mm-hmm. But it became a comfortable place, mm-hmm. as long as it lasted, and then it had to be moved out of, and they found another place. Now, they didn't look for a comfortable place. They looked for an opportunity. And this comes to one of the things now is that I see as different. I find so many persons, and probably rightfully so, who won't give up this job and take another because of Social Security. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my father would have thumbed his nose at Social Security. I think. I mean, that was his independent makeup. But I do find, now you find a whale of a lot of people who do pick up their lares and penates and move.
Their what and their what?
Their Latin house gods.
Oh, okay.
The lares and penates. Okay. The gods of the hearth and the gods of the wind. Pick up everything and move. Okay. But you see, they're like my family. Mm-hmm. And I think of them as not being the run of the mill. Now, maybe they are the run of the mill. Mm. And maybe I'm not as unusual in my background as I think I am.
What's happened to your children and to their children? Do you see that stream is continuing, or has it diminished temporarily, or is it taking different forms of adventuresomeness?
Well, let me take the cousin of the oldest brother of my mother's. Went to California. Mm-hmm. He had the job with the same company all the time he was there, but it was an excellent job and it was a challenge. But when he retired, he decided to come east again because his son had come east. Mm-hmm. And he had three cousins in Florida, and so where he finally settled was in Florida. Mm-hmm. To be, I think, to be near them as much as to be near his son, because I think he saw his son as likely to be moved. Mm-hmm. His son's position is one where he may not determine when the moves will be made, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So now with the next older brother, the whole family had moved to California before those two children had to pick their places. Mm-hmm. And one went into a business, which I think was lumber and construction contracting. I'm not mm-hmm. sure, I really lost track of him. Which was not too far from his father's home, but his daughter became a plant pathologist mm-hmm. and married a plant pathologist. They have both taught at the University of California, and they've both gone to Australia three different times to do plant pathological mm-hmm. studies, and have imported plants and trees to California because they think they'll do better in California mm-hmm. than they do in Australia. Mm-hmm. So in one way, they have a bit of it. There's not as much for Catherine to do. She did this business of becoming a college professor and mm-hmm. adventured in her field, which mm-hmm. was... There weren't so many women pathologists when she graduated from college.
What about your own children? How do they?
Oh, they're carry independent.
On in this tradition?
Yeah, they. Jane, you see, and her husband went to Italy, and then down to Morocco, and then to Sweden, and then to Denmark, and then home for a while, and now they've been in Spain 2 years. Doing. The boys have not wandered as far. Ronald was on in a retop during the war. That wasn't his own choosing, right? Except that he chose the branch that took him there, but it could have taken him in
place. To where,
there. I'm sorry? The island of Enewetok, which is right near where the first big bomb went off, atom bomb went off. They could see it from Enewetok. Mm. But Belmont studied at Michigan in his field, which is conservation,
mm-hmm.
and he worked for a while in New York State with conservation,
mm-hmm.
and then he came back to Vermont. I don't know how exactly Tim's details on this and mine might jibe, because he probably will mention it too. But he came back to Vermont partly because the college needed someone who would be on the faculty and would understand the philosophy of the work program and who had ability to work with people and could further that and could teach something in the field of conservation and use of natural resources,
mm-hmm.
which was something we opened up before it got to be so
mm-hmm.
widely approved of.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed ever since, because this has been a place that he has enjoyed working, and I think he's been quite, I don't know, not smug at all about it, but I think he has not been unhappy about his effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Rono came back and was teaching school then in the Washington, Maryland area. When they thought they had hired a former Goddard student to start the Maple Store, I guess they were going to call it, but it was going to be part of a bookstore kind of deal, that would help, would provide a market for maple sugar makers in this area who produced high quality syrup, who would then find the market, I mean develop the market
mm-hmm.
for this and increase the demand for it, and the income would go to the college fund for
mm-hmm.
particularly for tuition reductions, although I don't know that they had allocated it in words,
mm-hmm.
but that was the feeling. We needed more money available for tuition reductions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he did that for a while, and they developed very well, and there were several persons in town in the area, two or three, who did improve the quality
mm-hmm.
of their syrup in order to have it handled by
mm-hmm.
the store, because they paid a better price
mm-hmm.
for it, and the store did. And then the man who was, it was Jack Elliott, whom
mm-hmm.
you may know,
mm-hmm.
who was the controller at the time they were building the Village for Learning, those little houses,
mm-hmm.
dormitories.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd been a controller fine up until this time. And the strains and stresses and the contractors' hagglings and all this kind of thing really created a situation that caused, if not a breakdown, a realization on his part that he had to give up for a
mm-hmm.
while.
Mm-hmm.
So the only person on the campus who had any kind of time and skill in this was Ronald.
Mm-hmm.
So he was put into a job on which he learned a lot, but which he was able to handle. And so they kept him until, last year,
mm-hmm.
as the, I don't know what his title was, but the campus coordinator and developer or something,
mm-hmm.
that I've forgotten. I think the title changed two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've done away with that because they aren't expanding any for a while,
mm-hmm.
see, any building at all for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's back to teaching. So I don't know whether this, it's not as dramatic a way
mm-hmm.
as it was when my people were immigrants to an undeveloped country.
Mm-hmm.
But they have, both of them, tackled new kinds of jobs
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane has not only explored other countries, but she was, I guess, the first woman in the development office, then,
mm-hmm.
except secretaries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so in a way, in their situation, I guess
mm-hmm.
they are adventurous too.
It's the same
too.
Spirit. You
the
think
same
it's
spirit,
charity.
I think, is there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, And they have been effective in upgrading the fire departments in both communities. Mm-hmm. And Belmont was on the zoning commission. Well, this this main, and he's on the, was on the first resources, state resources council, mm-hmm. thing. In a way, this is not the kind of thing that would really run parallel, I mean congruent, but it may be parallel in this generation. For instance, did you read A Lantern in Her Hand?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Beth Streeter Aldrich wrote A Lantern in Her Hand, and then she wrote White Clouds Flying.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't even work recording. A Lantern in Her Hand was the story of a family in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, I've got a copy of it, I think I read it the other day. I think it's well worth reading.
Mm-hmm.
If you are at all resourceful in translating history into present
mm-hmm.
day
mm-hmm.
things, like you, in a way what you're trying mm-hmm. to do. Well, then came the Depression, and White Clouds Flying is about the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the granddaughter, I think, of this woman on the prairie
mm-hmm.
who had as many problems in establishing her home and family.
I see, yes.
As, mm-hmm. as the mother or grandmother had in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
The tragedy was that this everybody was doing this, and it was no longer the exciting thing to read about, because those of us who read about it had lived through it.
I see.
Whereas those of us who read about the prairie mm-hmm. situation had not lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
This was romantic and really exciting thing this family had done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, for each family who lived through the Depression,
mm-hmm.
there was as much drama, as much challenge,
mm-hmm.
maybe even more challenge, than there was in the Nebraska development. But the book, it was as well written, but it just didn't sell like the first one did.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And I find the same difficulty.
I see.
Now, constantly I've been thinking about the Nebraska family of Beth Streeter Aldrich and my great-grandparents,
mm-hmm.
or even my grandparents, and The White Clouds Flying and my children.
Oh.
So it's now maybe my great grandchildren or my great great grandchildren
mm-hmm.
may see what our daughter and boys did as a sense of adventure too.
Yes.
Of course, Belmont was a conscientious objector, which was really something different.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there were others in the country, but he was one of very few of them.
During World War II?
Was a real struggle.
Mm-hmm.
He went through the whole thing twice before he died. But, so that in itself might stand out somewhere along, depending on whether a great-grandchild was interested in history or...
perspective, I think, is really interesting because that makes a difference. Somebody once said to me, if only I have a good narrator of my life will seem wonderful, interesting, challenging.
Yeah.
But with all the old crummy things that I have to do every day, it seems quite flat, which is, again, something I'm interested in picking out the...
And this is what, in a way, maybe you should read those two books mm-hmm. of Beth Streeter Aldrich's
mm-hmm.
and then look at yourself, too,
mm-hmm.
or look at some of your family, friends,
mm-hmm.
because I think you would gain perspective
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've read, I don't read like a lot of women. Just don't put this down.
Well, I just wanted to check the time because
I read very few novels, very, very few. I read biographies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I read historical fiction, if I read any fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taken a trip once, or maybe not, once deliberately, and maybe other times, around the United States with different books I've read, with different or different biographies or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I might read about Nebraska and might read Willa Cather's biography, but I also might read The Shadow on the Rock,
mm-hmm.
because I thought it might be somewhat mm-hmm. biographical. And then I would turn to, where was it, that old Jules, Montana, I think that was. But a lot of these biographies I've read have been in different mm-hmm. places. But I've read a lot about Alaska. And the Northwest Territory,
mm-hmm.
and I like the development of the West stories. I even like good old
Zane
westerns and Zane Grey, which has become a collector's item
yes.
now. I've visited Moab, where he used to live,
huh.
seen the country his horses ran in.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of reading I have done. But I thought what made me start this was that if you read of some of the real biographical stories of settlers in Alaska,
mm-hmm.
it has the same thrill and what have you, but it comes back to the point that a station man said to me the other day, gasoline service station, said he was pumping gas and I was there, and another man came along and said to him, "How is Mrs. Pitkin today?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I didn't know." I said, did you speak to me?" He said, "No, I asked Rich how Mrs. Pitkin was today." And I said, "Well, as far as he knows, I'm all right." I said, "Of course, I don't tell all to everybody."
Mm-hmm.
But I said, "Really, I've had a pretty good life, and most of the time I'm pretty much all right."
Mm-hmm.
And Rich said, "Well, I'm glad to hear that." He said, "That's not true of everybody that
mm-hmm.
stops here for gasoline."
Mm-hmm.
But he said, "You know, if you look around, you always find somebody that's worse off than you."
Mm.
And this takes me back, if I can make a circle
yes.
again,
yes.
to the time I didn't really mention particularly, when the boys were tiny, and Jane was 2 years and 9 months old, not 10 months old. And so there were three children in a small house, and I was the principal's wife and had certain responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Both community-wise as well as to parent-teacher and all these other things, you know. Well, I didn't feel put upon, really, but I would get exhausted sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tim had to, he was a supervising principal, and he had to go to South Wallingford to visit a school. And down there was a woman who was the wife of a dairy tester, and he was gone always 6 days a week, and sometimes he had to leave early Sunday night. So she would see him really only one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he'd call her some once in a while. No, he couldn't have. They didn't have a phone. But anyway, I knew she was lonesome. So
mm-hmm.
I would ride down with my three children to this school in South Wallingford. And they lived a quarter of a mile from the schoolhouse. So I would go out to see her. And one day, she had seven children. And none of them in high school yet.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I came, went to the door, and she said, "Am I glad to see you? I am so sick of talking to nobody but Edith Walters. I'm ready to throw the children out of the house." And her name was Edith Walters.
Oh.
You know.
Okay.
And so this gave me a different perspective about how busy I was.
Yes.
You
yes.
see, kind of thing. Well, I wasn't I didn't philosophize about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that I was glad that I had only three
mm-hmm.
instead of seven
mm-hmm.
that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't have the conveniences. She was about like we were when I started up on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
No electricity, no pump, electric pump, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you say, perspective really does a whale of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it you get if you've lived in the neighborhood of your own family for a long time. You get it out of your family and the family history and the stories about the uncles and aunts and things.
Mm-hmm.
But in today's society, where it's so transient, it's so important that people read more.
Mm.
It really is, particularly, well, no, it, particularly if a girl is, begins to feel hemmed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important to read.
Mm.
Because although you don't get it from conversation, you get it from associating
mm-hmm.
with the
yeah. your interaction with
interaction
the
with the
yes.
character.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm sure that's one reason why these soap operas are so popular with so many girls.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only interaction they have
mm-hmm.
with people who have some of the problems they have.
Mm.
It's an awful waste of time, seems to me, to get your perspective that way,
mm-hmm.
but I feel positive that's why
mm-hmm.
I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
I'd so much rather do it from the book.
I'm beginning to blank out.